John's Gospel, chapter 21. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Thanks be to God.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Peter was rash, sometimes even a hothead. He rushed into situations too often without thinking carefully first. When Jesus told his disciples about his approaching death, Peter offered to die for him or to die with him. But when Jesus was actually on trial, Peter denied even knowing his Lord. "I do not know the man." How those words must have haunted him later. God's plan and intention to save mankind would not be fulfilled by Peter dying for Jesus. Instead, Jesus needed to die for Peter and for all of us sinners. We need Christ to die for us to take away the real and true fear of death. Peter didn't seem to be afraid of death when Jesus was right there with him. But when Jesus had died, and before they really understood that he had risen from the dead, Peter mourned for his Lord's death and was afraid of his own death. He and the other disciples, remember, hid behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. Jesus had overcome death and indeed had risen from the dead, so that we have no longer any reason to fear death. Peter's denial of Jesus no longer needed to haunt him, because Christ paid for that sin along with all the sins of the whole world. And Jesus helps Peter to understand that threefold denial, being forgiven, by here asking him three times, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." And three times Jesus tells Peter, "Feed my lambs." Peter was to show his love for Christ by caring for Jesus' lambs. St. Augustine rephrases Jesus' words like this: "If you love me, don't think about feeding yourself, but feed my sheep as mine and not yours. Seek my glory in them and not your own glory, my gain and not yours." Peter's life of service was not for his own glory, but for the glory of God. Peter had been willing to die for Christ, and later he would give his life as a martyr for his Christian faith. And like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed to his heavenly Father, "Not my will, but your will be done," so Jesus predicts here how Peter will die, not by his own will, but by the will of others. "When you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you to where you will not wish to be." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Legends tell us that Peter was stretched out on a cross, crucified like Jesus. But when Peter was to be crucified, he asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel he deserved the same honor of dying in the way that Jesus died. Just as Jesus, the good shepherd, had laid down his life for the sheep, Peter, the good under-shepherd, laid down his life to witness to that greater shepherd. Until he died, Peter served Jesus as a shepherd and pastor of Jesus' sheep, feeding the lambs with the gospel of salvation. Peter also trained and instructed other pastors and shepherds to serve Jesus. And when Peter wrote to these pastors in these congregations, he used imagery of sheep again and again in his preaching and his writing. Peter clearly reflects Jesus' words here when he writes this in his first epistle: "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." When Peter had denied Jesus, we are told that he went out and wept bitterly. Here now, Peter shows that Jesus forgiving him and restoring his confidence made him look forward with certainty to the crown of glory and eternal life, which Jesus, the good shepherd, purchased for him and for all people by his sinless life and his innocent suffering and death on the cross. Those who serve Jesus faithfully point not to themselves, but to Jesus. They are like John the Baptist, who said about Jesus, "He must increase, I must decrease." And when John was asked if he was the Messiah, he pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Putting those two images next to each other doesn't fit with our human reason. How can the Lamb be the Shepherd? But both are true, and both tell us how much God loves us, how he gave his life for us, how he will shepherd us into eternal life. We follow him because he gave his life for us. We follow him because he leads us into the green pastures, beside the still waters, in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We shall fear no evil. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy upon us and grant us your peace. Amen.